What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Thank you. You know, as I read this, I had this image in my mind, and I don't know, it has to be a God image because I think you could read it and never get this out of it. It's just one of those things where God showed me this. I don't know if you've ever been to a place called Four Corners. Anybody ever been there before here in the United States? Okay, there may be a couple. Four Corners is a place where you can actually stand in one place and actually be in four states at one time. So you can put your left foot in Arizona, your right foot New Mexico, right hand in Colorado, left hand in Utah. So you can stand in all four places. And it's kind of a cool place. I think when I was a kid, it was more of like a place in the dirt where they showed where the four states came together. But now it's a monument, and they've actually created a really nice place around it. You know, as I look at this passage here, I see kind of a parallel to this Four Corners place. And I can tell you that when I think about the monument that has been built in the world that we live in today, it's really a monument to compromise. It's a monument to being in a lot of things all at the same time. It's like it's become acceptable for us culturally to have one foot in Christianity, one foot in the world, one hand in our selfish desires, and another hand into worldly pleasures. And I can tell you when we live like that, it's a very confusing way to live because it also creates this world where he talks about where there's fights and quarrels and all kinds of issues and brokenness in our life because we're in this place where life is really all about us. And if you think about it, out of all four of those corners you live in, three of them are things that have to do with getting what we want in life. And so it ends up that this life is not really about us and that it's about Christ and that we were actually created for his glory. And so we know that nothing creates disputes and anger and brokenness like living in all four places at the same time. That's why James says this. He says, you desire the things you don't have, so you kill. You want things you can't have, so you fight and you quarrel. And you ask for things from God and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. Now, I don't know if that's ever applied to you or if you ever felt that way before, but I can tell you that, you know, I don't think I've ever desired anything, so I killed it. Didn't get what I wanted, so I killed it. But I certainly have been in a place where I've wanted things for my life, and I've fought and I've quarreled to have those things. And so I understand what this is about. And if you think about it, it's really a life of frustration when things are all about what we want. Because as you know and as I know, you don't always get what you want in life, as much as you want that. You know, there are a lot of people who are living in all four places in life, and they feel like that they've been kind of given a bad hand. And I've talked to people before where they say, you know, life's dealt me a bad hand and this is just the way it's going to be for me. I've heard people say things like they feel like they never get anything that they want or they feel like God doesn't even listen to them anymore. And I can tell you when you get into this place where you're all about you and not about God's will, we find ourselves praying for things that are outside of God's will and never really getting what we want, and somehow God gets blamed for it. And I don't know how that works, but I think I've even been there at times in my life. And so generally God gets the blame and people stay in this frustrated state. And so James just gets right to the point. He gets right to the bottom line, and here's what he has to say. He says, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And I think that's pretty straight, right? So it's hard to be a Christian and live in all four areas of your life where you're all about your selfish desires, all about your worldly pleasures, and all about the world in general, and then have one foot in Christianity. And it's really tough to live like that. In other words, we can't be acting like we live in all four corners with 2 feet and 2 hands in different places. We just can't live like that. And I know when I look back over my life, I've seen times in my life where I had my hands in so many different things and my feet in places, and I still called myself a follower of Christ, but I was kind of in a lot of different things and doing a lot of different stuff, and it was a little confusing. As a matter of fact, it was very frustrating for me in my life. You know, if you look at many of our life situations, it seems difficult to overcome this way of living because we get used to doing that. We get used to having life and life being all about us. We get used to getting what we want. We get used to getting all the pleasures we want out of this life. But God's called his people back to live in one place, and he's called them to live in a place where we're just in his presence and his presence alone, and we're not trying to get our hands into everything out there. So how do we go about living in God's will? Because it's easier said than done at times. It's like, I know what God wants for my life, but I also know I really want to do this. And I don't know if you've ever been at that crossroads before where you know exactly where you need to be, but this is where you want to be, and then you kind of just let life happen. And as you know, when life just happens, it doesn't end up doing things the way God wants it done. And so the other question we have is, how do you stop sinning and deny yourself and then lose your worldly way of thinking? And when we read this here, James actually gives us a nice little map for us to walk out and says, this is how you do it. And it's for all of us who have ever had compromise in our life. And I bring this message to you today, not because we have tons of compromise, but because everybody has something in their life today where you think, you know, if I could change this one thing, this is an area of my life where I struggle, this is an area of compromise for me, and I know everybody has something, so this message is for everybody today, so soak it in, okay? This is good stuff. Here's what James says. This is kind of the starting point. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Don't you know the submission is a really good place to start? And you know, submitting is like saying, God, I'm going to give you my life, I'm going to give you all my wants, my desires, my dysfunctions, my problems, my issues. I'm going to give you everything and I just submit it to you. But in the four corners scenario, it actually looks a little bit like this. Lord, I'm going to take my hand out of the worldly pleasures and I'm going to take my hand out of all the things that I want. And I'm going to take my foot out of worldly thinking. I'm going to stand right here with you and it's all going to be about you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we have to make that statement. That's part of submission, that we're actually submitting to him, not submitting to everything we have our hands into, but submitting to him. And that's part of the process. And so if you think about it, that's a pretty easy thing to do, right? Now, some people might say, well, that's easier said than done. I mean, you know, I've done that 100 times, and I've ended up where I've always been. And I can tell you, submission is the only place it starts, and then God does the work from there. But there are some other things that we have to do in the process, and he actually walks us through that. So what we do is we're standing there in Jesus Christ, is we get on our knees and we tell God, I want you to use my life for your glory. And that's it, because that's why you created me. Man, that's a pretty simple thing to do, right? That we pull our foot out of the world, our hands out of everything else we've had it into. We stand on Jesus Christ, we get on our knees and say, Lord, it is all about you, and I use my life for your glory, however you choose to do that, even though I'm broken. Because here's the problem. All I ever bring to God is brokenness and issues and stuff like that. It says that all I have are but filthy rags before God, right? So some of you might say, well, I don't really bring a lot to the table. All I bring along is my issues and my dysfunctions, and God says I'm okay with that. Just bring yourself here, right? So that's the starting point, and that's always a good starting point. But he goes on to say some things, because here's the thing. I think there's a theology out there, especially with evangelicals like us, where we think that all I have to do is submit, and just God waves the magic wand, and everything works out right, and I stop doing stuff I shouldn't be doing, and everything just kind of comes together, and praise the Lord, it's all done. And I can tell you that's not exactly how it works, because here's the thing. James lays out a plan, and this plan's actually kind of important. So I don't lay this out saying there's a 10-step plan to getting your life in order. I'm saying I want you to understand the heart behind this, okay? Because if you understand the heart behind the scripture, it takes you to a really awesome place. So he goes on to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, that's a really important thing to do, right? Resist the devil. Here's the thing. Anytime Satan gets in your head, he gets in your heart, he gets into your body, whatever the case is, anytime he gets in, you can stop him anytime you want to, because God always gives you a way out, right? And everybody who knows that, you know what I'm talking about. That little voice in your head that says, don't do this. And it's right in that moment, right? And you can get out anytime you want to. There's got to be something inside of us that resists Satan in our lives. We've got to run from temptation. When temptation comes our way, we run for the hills. Okay, don't hang out and check out the temptation just to see what it's all about. Run, okay? Run from it. It's important because if you'll do that, it doesn't really run after you. That's the one thing about this. It says that Satan flees from you. So Satan's not going to chase you down. Here's the cool thing about it. When we finally put our hand up and say, you know what, I'm not going there one more time, Satan just kind of walks off. It's a really cool process. Not that he won't come back, okay? Get me right on that. But he runs off. Here's the thing. We need to avoid compromise. There are going to be times in your life where you have certain things where you're like, you know what, I know this is the right decision. I know that if I do this, it benefits me, and if I go this way, it doesn't. And so we all sort it out. Don't think too long about your decisions, okay? You know what the right thing is to do. Do it and get out. That's a really important principle for us to understand, because the more you think about the things that can benefit you, the more you think about the things that are, you know, aren't right, the more you consider them a possibility, and the more you hang in there. That's not resisting Satan. Resisting Satan is, I know the right thing, here's what I'm going to do, and I am out of here. I'm not going to think about that anymore, right? How about rejecting ungodly thoughts? A thought comes into your mind, something you don't need to be doing, places you don't even need to go. We have the process to say, you know what? Out of my mind, I'm not going there, I'm not thinking about this, I reject that thought. We have the freedom to do that if we want to, but we don't always do that. Sometimes we're like, that's kind of an interesting thought, you know? And then we kind of hang in there a little longer and a little longer. That's not resisting Satan, that's giving in. So at some point we need to say, you know what, I reject that thought, I'm not even going there. As a matter of fact, I put this message together yesterday morning, and as I'm going through the day, some things came up, and I had this scripture in me, and it was kind of like working itself around inside of me. And I found myself saying, I'm not going there, I don't want to go there, not having it. And it was something inside of me that just welled up and said no. And I think it's a really important part of resisting Satan in your life is that you just, there's something inside of you that says absolutely not. It's like the spirit wells up and says compromise isn't for you. How about rejecting out of control emotions? Anybody? That's probably a good idea too. You know, when your emotions start to get out of control because Satan's telling you this is bad, this is not going to happen, it's not going to work out for you, and you start to get all ramped up over stuff, that you finally say, you know what, I'm not going to let my emotions get out of control because I'm going to live in the peace that God's already given me through Christ. It's that simple, right? And here's a part of resisting the devil, and I'm just going to throw it out there, and you guys sort it out for yourself. Sometimes it's just good to keep your mouth shut, you know what I mean? Don't you think so? I mean, sometimes it's just a really good idea not to let everything you're thinking come out of your mouth, you know? That's just generally a good idea in life, you know? So that's a part of resisting. But he doesn't stop there, okay? So we get this idea, we submit ourselves to God, we resist Satan, but here's what he says, and now he says, come near to God and he will come near to you, okay? So, you know, push Satan away, but get close to God. Say, I need more of you. And it's interesting that as we read the Word of God, it begins to fill us up and we begin to feel whole again. And we begin to have a relationship with God. We begin to understand his heart toward us. And it's reading the Word really does set life right. And for those of you who have ever read, and sometimes, or most of the time, we read in some of our most difficult moments. But we sit down and we read, and it's like something's just washing over you. That's because as you draw close to God, he draws close to you. It's a scriptural truth, okay? That we take time to pray to him. And we pray and we ask God to move in our lives in certain situations, but not just that we're talking all the time, because it's also important for us to have time to listen to God, because God's always talking to his people. But sometimes we're so busy talking, we don't really hear what he has to say, but God is always talking, right? And so there's that. How about asking for wisdom? That if you ask God and say, you know, this is the situation I'm facing in my life, but I need your wisdom to make the right decision today, there's something about that, that as we call upon the Lord for wisdom, he meets us and gives us the wisdom we need. And it says in the Bible, we don't have wisdom because we don't ask for it. But ask for wisdom and you will receive. It's a promise, right? And then if you really want to draw close to God and you want him to come close to you too, is that choose love in everything that you do. Choose love in your relationships. Choose love. Don't let things be divisive. Don't try to make everything right in the world, because you're never going to. That's for Christ to do one day. But for us, it's that basically we just choose love in every situation, because here's the deal. People are messed up and we are too, okay? Because we're people. It's just the way it works, right? And so let's just give everybody some grace, and let's just choose love in the way that we work with people, in the way that we hang out with people. But he goes on further, okay? He says, submit yourselves to the Lord. He says, resist the devil, come close to God. He comes close to you. Then he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I have a hard time reading this, because it sounds like he's like, wash your hand, you sinners. You know what I mean? It sounds kind of, I don't know, sounds a little direct. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here's what I see when I read this part right here. Is it go back to the four corners thing, okay? To where I have my one foot in the right place and one foot in the wrong place and then two hands in the wrong place. And I want you just to imagine for a second that wherever you put your hands in the wrong place, they get a little dirty. And I guess I just envision myself finally standing up off of all fours and getting to a place where I'm standing in Christ, and now it's time to wash my hands of this whole thing because I'm not taking any of that dust with me, just to be honest. I don't want any residue of that. I don't want any residue of that past because that's not my life anymore. And so it says clean off the residue of your past. And I don't want you to think that I'm saying sanctify yourself because that's not how it works. You're not going to purify yourself. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, purifies you. So that's not for you. But I can tell you there's something about the residual of our past that gets on our hands, and it's time to wash that stuff off and say, you know, I'm not taking that with me anymore. You know? So we may wash our hands, but God purifies us, and then we need to ask for strength and obedience to live out what we believe, because we all say we believe stuff, but we don't always walk it out that way. But God can give us the strength and obedience to do that. And then we need to cut everything out of our lives that is not in God's will. And that's sometimes a hard thing to do, but it's where we've been called to be. But James doesn't stop there. He says something else here that I think that a lot of people, we like to kind of scratch this from the scripture and then move on. But here's what he says. He says, grieve and mourn and wail. I don't know. Wailing seems a little excessive. You know, I don't know. But this is probably the least appreciated step in the whole process for us, is that we don't want to grieve and mourn and wail these things. You know, it's like we live in a world where people just don't want to feel bad. Isn't that true? We live in a world where people don't want to feel regret and we don't want to face mistakes, but here's what I want you to get today. To cast God's grace over it all and then never feel the gravity of our sin is misunderstanding the power of God's grace. It just is. That's quotable right there. That's good stuff, you know? And that's not because I wrote it. That's because God gave it. Because here's the thing. I never want to be in a place in my life with my relationship with God where I have this brokenness, there's this compromise between us, and there's this broken relationship with us, and then I don't come to grips with where I've been. And if I don't come to grips with where I've been, I don't come to grips with the greatness of God's grace to cover it all. You know, I think there's this belief in maybe the Pentecostal movement, maybe more evangelical, that where we make a mistake, we're in a place where we don't have tight relationship with God, and we come back, and it's like we want to do this weird thing that we do as evangelicals where we, you know, come up and say, hey, Jesus, give me a high five, we're all good, right? We're good, grace covered it all, right? And then we just laugh and have a good time, and that's not what he's talking about here at all. As a matter of fact, he's painting a picture that's just a little bit different, and I want you to get it because it's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you've ever had a situation where your relationship with someone has been broken before, and maybe it had been broken for years. And then you finally got together, and it was this moment where you guys had a chance to make up and make things right. And I can tell you that day didn't look anything like, hey, give me a high five, everything's cool, right? That's not what that day looked like. There was a lot of weeping, and there was a lot of grieving involved in that. That you see people hug, and they haven't hugged for years, and things have been broken for so long, and they find themselves hugging each other and crying, and you hear people saying, I am so sorry for what happened over the years. You know, you hear this apology, you hear this crying, you hear this grieving. It's a picture of what it looks like to put relationship back together, because we don't just act like nothing happened and everybody just gets back together. I mean, I know people who do that, but that doesn't work real well. And I can tell you there are a lot of people who live a life of compromise, and they somehow think to get life back on track with Jesus, it's like you just walk in there and go, hey, grace got it, right? We're good? We're good? And we understand that grace covers everything. But here's what I want you to understand is that there's got to be something in us that's sad that the relationship with Christ was broken in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something here. And so part of the whole process of getting things back together, and if you really want to know that your relationship with God is absolutely right without question, then we have to approach God in a right way to where when things are broken between us, that we have a little time to cry and to grieve. And I want you to know, I want you to get a picture of how God deals with us, is that he puts his arm around you and he just loves you and he says, okay, my grace covers this. But I'm glad our relationship matters to you, you know? Because we almost get this picture that grace supersedes relationship. That, oh, grace makes it all right. I'm not going to pay for this stuff. It's all good. But relationship is still broken. And there's got to be this thing between us and God to where our relationship matters more than just getting everything right on the surface. You know, that things have to be right in the background. And so that's why James writes this. As a matter of fact, he goes on a little further and he says this. He says, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. And some people are like, that's such a depressing passage. Well, just follow him for a second. People read this and they think, you mean God wants me to feel gloomy? He wants me to stop laughing? He wants me to lay down and cry? Well, here's why. Because we've lived in this broken relationship with God. And we're now coming back and reconciling our relationship to him. And when we do this, tears flow and we apologize and stuff gets back on track. And so for us to reenter this relationship and just throwing grace on it and laughing would be kind of inappropriate, you know? And I don't want to ever be like that with the Lord. I want our relationship to matter. But James finishes with this. He says, we humble ourselves before the Lord and then he lifts us up. And I want you to get a picture. Let me go back to the relationship thing where the relationship's broken. You're getting it back together. You're hugging. You're apologizing. You're crying. And everything's coming together. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen or seen it on TV, but here's how it goes down, okay? Is that after all that's done and after everything is made right, there's a lot of smiling and laughing and catching up to do. And I can tell you, it's very much a picture of how God works with his people. That we see God giving us back our joy. He lifts us back up again. He lets our laughter return, and we're right with God, and we are covered by grace, and it's a good thing. And we are righteous in the sight of God through Jesus Christ, and all is right with God. And there's something in your hearts when you go through this that you get an understanding of what it means to really be right with God, you know? That we're really okay. Because there have been a lot of times in my life where I did the whole high five with Jesus. I said, we're good, right? And I can tell you, I didn't feel good about it when it was all said and done because I didn't understand the gravity of my sin. Therefore, I didn't understand the power of God's grace, you know? And I want to come to grips with the fact that I haven't been who I've always needed to be, you know? I want to come to grips with who I really am in the moment so that I can look at that and say, man, God's grace covers that? Wow! Like, that's exciting, you know? But I think for a lot of my life, my sins seem so minuscule because his grace was so covering that I'm just like, well, you know, God can handle it. And I don't want to ever get to that place because I want to absolutely know in my heart that my relationship with God is right. Because isn't that what we really want? Isn't that what you all wanted when you came in here today? You wanted to know your relationship with God is perfect and right. You didn't come here because you're thinking, oh, I can't wait to sit here for an hour and maybe, looks like maybe 15. I came here to sit for like an hour and 15 minutes and do what good people do on a Sunday. I would assume you came here because you wanted to know when you left here today that your relationship's right with God and everything's okay. Well, man, James laid it out for you today. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm asking you, and this challenge is for you, to be bold enough to actually take this passage right here and say, you know what, I'm going to live by this. I'm going to take this home today, and I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to understand it, and I'm going to build my relationship back with God this way because I don't want to live in compromise anymore in this particular area. And for some of you, it might be a very small area, but I can tell you, big small areas of compromise end up being big areas of compromise down the road. They can breed big issues in your life. So let me read this passage back to you now, and I want you to take it in because this is for you today. It's for everyone in this place today. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Is there anyone willing to take that challenge right there? Because this is the place God's called us to. He says, it's time to stop living in four corners of your life. We can't live in these places anymore. You have one place to live, and it is in Jesus Christ alone. We have one place to live. Are you willing to take the challenge and say, Lord, I submit myself to you here. I will resist everything Satan does in my life, and I will give myself completely to you. I will come to you, and you will come close to me, and I will wash my hands of this life I used to live, and I want you to purify me from within. And I'm willing to grieve and mourn and everything, the relationship that I've broken with you, because my relationship with you matters. And today I humble myself, and I know that in the process of humbling myself and bringing myself to you, mourning and grieving, that you're going to lift me back up and give me my joy back and give me back everything that I ever had. So this message is for all of us on some level, but the question is, are you going to take hold of it today? Well, here's the challenge for you today. If this message is for you and you want a part of it today, I want you, if you would, to hold your hands out in front of you just like this, like you're receiving from the Lord. Because God's going to pour something out into you today. And if you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want to pray over you today. Father God, you know the things that we bring before you today. You know the issues of our lives. Father God, today we submit ourselves to you. We decide to pull back out of all these ways we've lived and all these places we've been that we had no business being in. And we stand upon you today and we kneel before you. And we tell you, God, use our life for your glory. Father, give us the strength to resist the devil and everything that he does in our lives. Lord, help us to see what he's doing so that we can turn away and move the other direction. And Lord, I pray that we don't just move away from him, but we move toward you. Father, today we wash our hands of all this junk that we used to be into. Lord, I pray that you purify our hearts today. Lord, help us not to avoid being sad and grieving this because, Lord, we know that our relationship with you has been broken. But Lord, it's never broken forever. That all we have to do is say, Lord, I want you back in my life and I want to be right with you today. So as you hold your hands out today, just let the Lord pour it upon you through the power of his Holy Spirit. Just a renewed relationship. Father, we allow ourselves to grieve the loss, but Lord, today we humble ourselves before you. And we know that as we humble ourselves before you today, that you lift us back up. Do you let our joy return and our laughter return to us again? Lord, do we no longer feel oppressed by those issues of life? We no longer feel frustrated by compromise. But Lord, we just pray that you just begin to move in an amazing way in us right now. Father, thank you for lifting us up. We know that we're covered by grace today. But I thank you for allowing us to see the gravity of our sin so that we understand the magnitude of your grace. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in our lives right now. Lord, I pray that you help this passage that we read today from the hand of James, the one you inspired. Lord, I pray that you help us to take this passage and let it be a part of our lives from this point forward. Lord, we know that compromise is always an issue. But Lord, we don't want to live in that place forever. We don't want our relationship to be broken with you. Father, lift us up today. Father, for each and every person here who just mentioned something to you and they said, this is what I've compromised in. This is what I've done. This is where I've been. Lord, I pray that you help them to come to grips with where they've been. And Lord, I pray that you help them to come to grips with the comprehensive nature of your grace, Lord, that you pour it out freely and it covers everything. But Lord, I pray that we never cheapen it, that we never cheapen your grace and make it seem like something invaluable simply because we just accept it and laugh it off. Lord, help us to just come to grips with who we are and who you are and how your greatness takes us to where you want us to be. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for what you're doing in this place today. Praise you, Jesus. There may be some here today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you say, I'm ready to make that decision today. I want to be right with God. I want to have a close relationship with him. I want to submit my life to him because I know that he can make something amazing out of it. If that's where you're at today, if you would just lift your hand where you said, I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone here ready to make that decision today? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If that's your heart's desire, I want to lead you in this prayer, but just between you and God today. Father God, I give you my life today. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I accept him into my heart today. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But I ask that you take my life and you make something amazing out of it. Father, I submit myself to you today. All of my mistakes, all of my issues, all of my shortcomings. And Lord, I pray that you bring me right into your will and give me the obedience to live it out. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Can we thank God for what he's done here today? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lori, if you come on up. Come on up. Can we have the prayer team come forward, please? If any of you would like prayer today for anything going on in your life, maybe something that God's dealing with you today about, if you would come up, we'd love to pray with you today. She's pretty excited, huh? That's cool.
Let's pray to dismiss. Father, thank you so much for this word for today, Father. Father, as we go out past these walls, Father, that you just go with us as we walk in what your will for us is. That we're out of the four corners and just in the one corner with you, Father. Father, we just love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Have a great day. The altar is open if you'd like prayer today.